Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Wait a minute, what am I doing? Two men in a one. Two friends from film school, one who graduated, one who didn't, and they decided to make a podcast. Okay, this has never been done before, right? Okay. This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.
Is it Judgment Day? Are people going to have to get skittity bip bop toilet tattoos and that's the mark of the beast? And I'm not going to be able to like pay for my Spotify because I can't make transactions? Because I don't know all the characters in the famous movie Skittity Bip Bop Toilet?
Listen, I'm not going to watch the Skibbity Toilet movies.
I'm making a group chat to count down for it.
Go for it. You know
we're
what?
We're going to have to go watch this fight. And it's going to hurt me more than anyone I make do it. And I'm going to regret doing it. But we're going to go watch the Skibbity special episode idea. Skibbity Bip Bop Toilet. And we'll bring Geneva because she's technically a Zoomer. And then that'll be the whole thing.
Sure.
Is that she tells us why she likes it. Because she's going to love it. It's her culture.
Yeah. Okay. Are there any... What? Why do you have such strong feelings about this?
Mostly because Michael Bay is directing it. I'm going to be honest.
Okay, you know what?
Like, I'm upset that there's a Skittity Bip Bop Toilet movie in general because I'm like, what's the fucking... What is it? What's the point of the movie? It, by definition, doesn't have a plot. Like, it doesn't have a plot. That's what they love about it.
Uh-huh.
And Michael Bay's directing it? They're putting a lot of money into Skittity Bip Bop. And, like, I'm not going to say, ooh, it's against Zoomers. Like, I just hate the Zoomers. Because, like, I hated the concept that there was the Fred movie.
Yeah.
Like, and when I was that age, I was like, I hate this.
Yeah. Understandable.
I'm like, why is there a Smosh movie?
Sure. I mean, there's an audience for it.
Even as a wee lad, I'm like, this feels pretty just like, let's make some money. I'm trying to make some money off what's like relevant to today's culture.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to see it. If there's an audience for it, there's an audience for it. It feels cynical, but like...
It's so cynical. Everything's just gone so cynical with movies. Except Sonic the Hedgehog, which remains every entry, actually a good movie in which all the greatest stars of our generation who are like, I'm not working in movies anymore, like come back to be in this... Jim Carrey has retired 3 times... And he has to keep coming back only for Sonic the Hedgehog.
I have never seen...
I know,
seen...
it's on the list of movies we're going to watch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're
yeah.
legitimately good movies.
Okay.
And I think they caused issues because they're legitimately good video game movies. So people are like, oh, video game movies are good. Even though it's truly the exception to the rule. And so that's why like Borderlands was made and that crashed super hard. And why Minecraft is going to fucking suck.
Yeah.
Minecraft's gonna suck, dude. It's gonna suck, dude. It's gonna be so bad. Should I do the intro?
Go for it.
Welcome to the Two Men in a Movie podcast, where each week one man shows another man a movie he can't believe he hasn't seen. As always, I'm Matthew Olenchek, your lovable, Zoomer-hating Midwestern host, joined by the lovable husband of mine, parentheses work, Harrison Poole. How are you doing?
I'm living, laughing, loving, baby.
So this week, we brought one of my favorite movies that I've been trying to get you to watch for a long time. The Death of Stalin, which was part of 2017 is when this movie came out. My 2017 political movie Saturday, in which I saw this, drove 30 minutes to another theater, which is the only theater like in the state, and to watch Vice. And I had a very good political humor weekend. But I do think this is one of those movies that no one watched because no one cares about politics in this country. And this is also like peak MCU. So why would you go see a movie if it didn't have Captain America in it?
Sure. I didn't see this movie because I didn't know it existed until you posted so much about it.
It's so good. And it was like in so many theaters, unlike Vice, which was taken out by Dick Cheney a week later.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was in Vice. Was it, we're going to watch this eventually. We're going to watch Vice.
Please.
It was in theater. I went and saw it opening night. And I told my friend Cameron, I'm like, you should go see this movie. He's like, all right, I'll see it this Saturday. But by the end of the week, he couldn't find a theater it was in.
Oh, damn.
It 100% got pulled because of political pressure. Because it is not kind to the man.
The Death of Stalin, I know, is Armando, and I'm going to butcher his last name.
It's okay. I literally have the Wikipedia page pulled up for Death of Stalin, so I don't butcher every Russian name.
Okay, perfect.
Because they are... I'm bad with names at the best of times.
Sure.
But, like, I am so bad at Russian names. Yeah, so let me pull up his name really quick, and I'll butcher it for you.
Please.
I will die on this cross for that. Like Jesus of Nazareth, I'll take your burden on. Armando Iannucci. Unless that's an I.
I think it's an I.
Iannucci.
I know he's the guy who created Veep and The Thick of It, which is, I've never seen either of them, but the clips I have seen of The Thick of It feel like very angry British Veep.
Yeah, yeah, no, this is a very British movie.
I've never seen The Thick of It or Veep, but randomly, I have seen his other film, In the Loop, which is just a film special for The Thick of It. I've never seen the show.
Why did you see
that? I've seen the movie.
You watch the movie, it's like if you only watched the Community movie whenever that came out, and you're like, yep.
Yeah,
it didn't inspire you to go watch the series?
I didn't find out until much later that it was a series. I just thought it was like a political satire starring Peter Capaldi. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'll watch this. And I like it a lot.
The whole series is, it's really good. And when he became the doctor, everyone saw a lot more of it.
Yeah,
because they would just keep taking scenes of him from it. Because he's just like swearing the entire series. Oh, he doesn't swear and yell at people. Because it's a very British satire.
Yeah.
And so there'd just be like a scene of him being like, "Ah, fuck you, asshole!" And the Doctor Who theme would start playing as he runs off.
One of my favorite lines in the loop is when James Gandolfini is like, "Can you please stop swearing?"
Yeah.
And Peter Capaldi just goes, "Okay, F-U-C cunt."
Yeah.
Just like
Doctor Who. Woo! It's just so funny.
I'll have to watch the show. I
think there's only one American in that too.
Oh, cool.
The Death of Stalin is mostly a British cast, and they do a really good, and like I have to stress, this is like, these are historical Russian figures. This is a historical satire. I'm not even sure satire. I guess technically it's satire. When I think of satire, it's usually like criticizing something, yeah. Though. It's not really criticizing anything, this movie.
Okay.
It's a very British retelling of like the couple, like the week after Stalin dies and all
sure,
the chaos
yeah.
of that. And it has a bunch of big British actors and some not so big British actors. And no one does a fucking accent in this movie. They made the very good artistic decision that none of us are going to do accents at all. We're just going to talk like we normally do.
Uh-huh.
And this is doubly great because the one American who's one of the leads, maybe the lead, is a Steve Buscemi's in this. And it's just Steve Buscemi being making like Steve Buscemi noises. And he's like, this is a Russian.
He rules in this
He's so good.
First off, everyone in this movie... nails it.
There's not a bad performance in this movie.
No. The first time I watched this movie earlier this week, I enjoyed it, but didn't think that it quite nailed its tone all of the time. Like, sometimes I thought it went a little silly or like a little too dark for the tone it was aiming for. On second viewing, a lot of those problems smoothed over.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
I like this movie a lot more.
It's such a good movie. It just opens with one of my favorite scenes in cinema. Because they do such a good job of capturing the paranoia of Stalinist Russia.
Yes.
And because the movie opens with like a concert recording of them. They're like recording on, they're like, it's like a concert of like, you know, classical music. And they're recording onto a vinyl record for the deliver to Stalin, because Stalin likes to listen to these things.
Right. But at first they're not recording.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The
yeah,
dude
yeah.
gets the phone call to call back to Stalin's office in 17 minutes.
Yeah, and he's like, fuck. And like, fucking like, this is a huge clusterfuck. And it's just like, they're like, oh, fuck. Oh, we're, shit, this is supposed to be a recording of like a live concert. They have to like go get people to be in the audience. And it's just like a bunch of like dirty fucking Russian peasants. And he's like, oh, I fucking hate these fucking peasants. And it's just this like very British dude, like the most British dude I've ever seen. Like stop, 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 clap here, stop, fuck. And they had to like go find the fucking,
The conductor.
Yeah, yeah. The audience at home can't see that. I'm just making vague hand gestures, reaching for a word. And it's just like this utter fucking chaos.
Yeah. The pianist doesn't want to perform at first because she's anti-Stalin, which, yeah. like, solid. Stalin killed her entire friends and family. And then she gets bribed by money.
I do want to stress that's not the opinion of the podcast. This podcast is pro-Stalin.
Yeah.
That's why I put it in all the show notes for every episode.
You have?
No.
Okay, cool. I have not been reading the show notes in the same way that you haven't been listening to my podcast review.
It's going
to
be tonight. You're going to go look at it. You're going to be like, oh, no. it's the fucking monkey meme. Oh, no. Oh, no! Matthew's been voicing support for the Taliban! Oh, no!
Jesus Christ. It's...
Yeah, didn't they just finish the recording, too? Like, they had to re-record it, was the thing.
No, they didn't record it. They just finished the concert, but they weren't
that's
recording.
What I meant. Like, they have to redo the concert because they just finished it. And they're like, oh, no! Which is, like, the theme of this movie is a bunch of people going, oh, no!
So they end up doing the concert again. At the same time as that, Stalin... we're introduced to him and our main cast.
Yeah, we have the great, whenever a character's introduced, they do like this slow motion video of them, and then like their do 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 like Russian music plays, and a little title card comes up, and it's like Gor Vignivaka, Minister of Trains.
Steve Buscemi plays Nikita Khrushchev, who I forget his official title, but is,
you know, I'm pulling up a list of all their crazy ass, because they all have these, like, they're not crazy titles, but they all have, like, I'm this and I'm this, and it doesn't even say what he does in this,
but he's one of the like general ministers of something. Jeffrey Tambor plays I forget the first name, but Molenkov. Hell yeah. Who's Stalin's deputy and
his first secretary?
Khrushchev?
Yeah, Khrushchev is first secretary.
Oh, cool. Okay. Then there's I forget who plays Beria off the top of my head. But really good British actor. Plays Beria, who is kind of like the conniving minister who like really is really vying for control after Stalin passes.
Simon Russell Beale.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, no, he plays the head of the secret police.
Yes.
Which is reoccurring, we keep seeing all the little like secret police shit going on. And like, I feel like a good fourth of the dialogue of this movie is Hail Stalin, and then a gunshot.
And then there's Molotov, who's another minister who is weirdly important for the plot, but like doesn't actively do anything to advance the plot, but like is a necessary character for the plot. And then there's Stalin, and all of the four ministers are like joking around, trying to essentially like be popular at the party.
Yeah, make Stalin like.
Yes. Jeffrey Tambor, the deputy, is
so good.
He's being really dumb and like not dumb. I mean, dumb, but like clueless. I guess
the entire movie is him being a bumbling moron.
Yes. And he's like making the conversations and jokes really awkward for a second. And then the other three have to essentially pick up the slack of like keeping the thing along. They watch a cowboy movie. Well, Stalin suggests they watch a cowboy movie and then doesn't watch the cowboy movie.
Stalin loved cowboy movies. That's a historical fact they include in this movie, is that he watched a lot of fucking Westerns.
But yeah, that's going on at the same time as they're completely redoing the concert. The media director, who runs the sound booth, hands the vinyl recording to one of the secret police, and the pianist puts a note, into the vinyl. Into the package.
Yeah, the sleeve.
The sleeve. Thank you. Essentially saying, like, you're a tyrant and I hate you.
I hate
Why'd you kill my people?
Why do you... I hate you. Do you hate me? Check yes or no. And then we eventually see this get delivered and he reads it and he laughs really hard and then he has a heart attack and dies.
Yeah. Yes. Though they say it's cerebral, which is brain. So he has a stroke?
I think he has a, something happens, and it just it's one of those really good British scenes where you just hear he just falls over and it goes outside his door and you hear him clunk and they're like, should we go check on him? It's like, I'm not gonna make him.
Oh, the two guards.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not gonna go upset him. He doesn't want to be bothered. I'm not going in there. I guess that is where it's taking the piss out of Russia, where so much of their failures is because of the fear.
Right.
The Soviet Union failed because so much of it was fear driven that people wouldn't do things that they probably should have done because they didn't want to upset the status quo or make someone important angry.
Yeah. No, that makes, yeah.
Because after that, isn't that when we see that Steve Buscemi's character like keeps a meticulous diary of all his jokes and which ones were laughed at?
Yes. And his wife like translates the drunken speeches. And
it's just Steve Buscemi, because they're all acting, but they're not acting as other people, really. Right. And so it's like, especially in Steve Buscemi's case, it's just Steve Buscemi. He's not really acting. He's just Steve Buscemi, but he's the Russian the Russian secretary.
And there's little jokes there where he's like, why do you keep writing horse? I say whores. And the wife is like, don't blame me for your drunken rambling. And then Molotov, C-H-H-H-H-H. Oh, Molotov.
Yeah, and he's like, we're not going to see him much.
He gets the call. He's in his gym jammers. Berea is the first person to find Stalin's body.
Because we get one of the really good scenes where he gets the note. He's like in a gulag and just praise Stalin. Bam. Praise Stalin. Bam. And there's like a torture thing. And he's just signing papers to like murder hundreds of people. And they're like, Stalin's dead. He's like, I have to get there before the others.
Yes, and he like has a key to a key to a key, like a key to a box to a key.
Yeah, he
to a
goes
box
into the office and he's like,
box.
Oh fuck, he's dead. And he has the key and it opens up something and then he gets a key from there and he does like this whole like click and point adventure.
This like, yeah, like for lack of a better phrase, Russian nesting doll of keys. Which is, it's to the cabinet for their papers,
yeah.
Right? Okay, cool. And then the next morning, Steve Buscemi is in his jammies and, he's going over game tape with his wife and he gets the call that Stalin is in trouble and he puts on a suit and trousers like while he's also in his gym jams.
Yeah.
And, just rushes over.
Because you have to get there before the others.
Yes. Berea sits at Stalin's desk, is like this moment of like, I will be the ultimate power, but then immediately goes over to the couch when he hears the knocking, and then it's Molenkov, Jeffrey Tambor, who sees the body and is just like collapse.
Because he's still kind of alive at this point.
Yes.
Because they put Stalin's body in the bed.
Yes. And yes.
And he's like, oh, this is horrible. Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, geez.
They're like, I think they're like, it's like morning theater, but at the same time, they're like also a little bit morning. I can never quite tell if they're actually like in mourning over the death of their leader, or if it's a, oh, now we all have an opportunity, but I need to pretend to be mourning, or if it's a combination.
I think it's a combination. There's also, they have the great scene where he's like trying to point at something, and then he like points at a painting. He's like, oh, he's saying we're the lambs and he's the shepherd. Or no, he's saying that we have to be the shepherd to the lambs.
And the milk is socialism.
The milk is socialism. We get introduced to two more characters. There's a lot of characters. We're not going to say all their names because, like,
only like five or six of them really matter.
I would say only Tambor,
Buscemi,
Berea. Where does it say the character name for that? And
the army
Jason Isaacs.
Yeah,
army actually general. Move the plot forward.
I would also argue, as tangential, the woman Svetlana, Stalin's daughter, is also important. So those, like,
yeah, it's Stalin's children.
Yes, I see. I would argue more Svetlana than Vasily.
Yeah, well, so would history.
Yeah, okay, fair. You know what? That's so fair and valid. But where they're performing like morning theater, but they're also like actually kind of upset. There's a puddle of piss from when he was laying there.
They're like, oh, God.
Because he had a stroke. All of these other ministers come in and they all do their little morning.
They're like, oh, God. Because they start coming, oh, God. It's like, yeah, we know. Help move the body.
When it's just Berea.
Oh, yeah, because he comes back. They're like, oh, he's back. It's a miracle.
Yes.
And Berea's like, fuck.
When it's just Berea and Malenkov, Malenkov has to step up to replace Stalin. And there's this moment of like, he's irreplaceable, but I must step up and
replace.
Like, I thought you said he was no, I mean, like, I must step up and lead the committee. Like, we're going to run by committee. That's good. I was testing. Like, Berea very much sees, because Malenkov is next in line, Berea very much sees that this dude's an idiot and can absolutely control him until he can't, but sees how malleable this dude is. And is using that for his, like, you can be the face, but I'll really be in charge.
Yeah, because he's I can't stress this enough, is a bumbling fuck moron.
Yes. we already mentioned they move him. They
send for the doctors.
Yes, and all of the good doctors were killed and sent to the gulag. And so they find another, they found the snitch lady who like finds all of the other doctors.
It's the great scene where the one doctor's walking and the car pulls up. He looks behind him and keeps walking. And like the fucking secret police get out of the car and he looks. And he starts like old man running away and they chase him down because they bring out like the worst doctors. Yes.
What about my dog? And the dog just starts walking the opposite direction. I love Steve Buscemi being like, well, if they fix him, then we got good doctors. And if they don't, he'll be dead. So he won't know.
Because they're just like, oh, shit. Oh, no. Like, everyone's like doing everything that needs to be done, but very badly.
Yes.
Is the theme of this movie.
They're all very much like trying to continue Stalin's reign for like at least as long as the funeral. And then, but also like vying for more power.
Yeah.
And most of them are stupid.
Pretty much everyone. There's like two, there are three competent people. It's Berea, the general, and Steve Buscemi. And I believe this is when the siblings show up.
Yes, Svetlana's already been there for a little while.
Yeah, she shows up to see her dad. And they have to go, they cut to, who is that? Who plays him?
Who plays
the son?
Oh my God, I don't.
He's in because he plays Bard in The Hobbits.
Yes, he does. I keep thinking it's Orlando Bloom.
It's Discount Orlando.
It's not Orlando Bloom. Keep going. I'll look it up.
Yeah. But like he shows up and they cut to him and he's like screaming at hockey players to do better because this is a reference to the actual historical event where like the Russian hockey team, like their plane crashed and they died. And so they had to replace the entire team, but they couldn't say they had to replace the entire team. Cause again, it's the whole weird fear and paranoia with like, we can't admit we had a mistake, even if it's an act of God. So you come on, they're doing terrible at hockey. And he's like drunkenly skating around the ring, being like, fucking play hockey better. Play. And it's like we have to go. He's like, and he's like, but like, it's fine. The team will do well. Like the new team is like, there is no new team. The team's the same team. We've never lost the team. You have it?
Yeah. Rupert Friend. Got it.
And that's the energy this character continues to bring throughout the rest of the movie is drunk and loud. Cause spoilers, the doctors, he ends up dying cause the doctors aren't good. And they like do an autopsy in a barn.
Right? Yes. Yeah. Is it a barn?
It's like a shed.
Yeah. Okay.
And he shows up and he's like, what are you doing to my father? And he's like screaming about how all the doctors are either older children. And he pulls out a gun and starts shooting a gun in the air and they have to wrestle the gun away from him.
Nice. Fun fact. He's Montana in Asteroid City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I knew I recognized him. Sorry, I didn't mean to. Anyway,
but they have like wrestled the gun away from him, and they have him hooked up to like this shitty machine. And they're like, "Why do you have this shitty machine?" And they're like, "Well, because the good or is the machine American? I think the machine's American. Like, well, it's the only machine that works.
Yeah, the respirator's American.
Yeah, and he's like, What are you doing to my father?
Feeding him American lies.
Ah, bam, bam, bam. and so that's like, honey, brother, please, honey, babe. No.
And he like,
we have to be strong for father.
He gets disarmed and then he like goes for the,
yeah, he's like, okay, I'm fine. Then he lunges
in a struggle that lasts too long.
Yeah, it is like 2 minutes of footage of just like, there's no music, it's all diegetic, and he's like, he's trying to grab the gun and he's never gonna grab it. Like, you know, from the outset he's not gonna get this gun, but we watch for 2 minutes as he tries to grab a gun from another guy. And he's like tangibly, like on paper, like a high-ranking official of the military.
Yeah,
but he's not, because he's a drunken piece of shit,
right?
I think by this point we've also had Steve Buscemi, I'm not calling him Khrushchev, Steve Buscemi, promise that he'll take care of Savette.
Yeah.
And he'll keep the others away from him because he's like, the others are going to try to eat you alive.
Oh, yeah. Svetlana, that I won't let any harm come to you or your brother.
Yeah.
And they're,
and
like,
she's like, are we in harm? He's like, oh, no, no, no.
Then why did you say harm?
Yeah. Well, you know.
And then Stalin it's a miracle he's alive. He points to the painting, and then Berea walks out, hits the pillar. The two guards who have been there the entire time,
they have not been dismissed.
Berea told them to stay. At this point it has been over a day. They have been there the entire time. They're just like, can we please go home? And then he gets one of the secretaries come out again and is like, he's dead. So Stalin is officially dead.
And that's when we get to the autopsy scene where they open up his head and everyone's like, ugh.
And at this point,
they do the purge of the house, which where they play like the Russian theme music that they have throughout this entire movie, where it's like bum 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 bum, and like bum, and they're just like shooting fucking maids, they're shooting guests. They're literally, the secret police roll up, they like take the carpets, they like clear out the entire fucking house as patriotic Russian music plays, and they're like, praise Stalin, bam, praise Stalin, bam.
In one of the shootings, he does. One of the people says, "Praise Stalin," and then the secret police just says, "Stalin's dead." Bam! Bam! And then immediately, like right as he's about to raise his gun to the next person, he gets a lie. That they've put a freeze on the killings.
Yeah. Because that's when they cut to the gulag, because they're like, yes. It's like, Stalin's dead. And they're like, oh, we're putting a freeze in the kill. And they just walk away, and everyone's just like looking around like cold fucking Serbia.
They assemble a small committee.
Yeah, because they put a freeze on the killings, which is something that Khrushchev wanted to do, but they take it before he does. Also, this is when the secret police are being put in, like, all the security.
Have we found out about Polina yet?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Do we?
Yes, because he gets invited to the committee, and it's that's in the apartment is when...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Sorry, yes. Molotov's wife was thought to be put on a list as a traitor and killed, but turns out Beria has been saving her in prison.
So we have the scene where they keep flushing the toilet because of so that no microphones could would just pick up the toilet noises.
Yes. Yes. And they're reunited. It's all real nice, but Molotov is talking with because
Beria brings it back because he's trying to win favor.
Yes, and Molotov is talking about how she was a traitor and like she went against the party, and then she walks in, and it's just one of those. Oh, but there was no evidence. Blah blah blah. Like it was a fraud. It was a sham. And like they're reunited, and it's really cute and really nice, and it made me real happy that that little moment. Listen, I'm a sucker for that kind of shit. Like
it helped you recover from the executions.
It really did.
Which are so British. The British love that. They love just fascist people killing executions. It shows up in so much of their media. So I'm getting so for the listeners at home, I'm getting really into Warhammer 40K because I'm having a midlife crisis, and I was talking to it about with my buddy. And there's the whole class of people called commissars, and all they do is execute people like Stalinists, and they're like a big part of Warhammer 40K. The British also don't understand numbers.
Yeah.
Or guns.
Okay.
A lot of the guns don't make sense, and they're like, the space marines, each chapter only has 1,000 people. I'm like, there's like 10,000 fucking space marines in the galaxy? Damn. That doesn't make sense. That's way too low. But it did, because we're talking about, it does remind me of Soviet, this is a complete tangent, but it does remind me of, it's the same energy. Because in the video game, you hear like a discussion happening in the background where they're like, it's like a lieutenant of the military, and they're like complaining. They're like, I don't have enough people to fight this war, and the commissars keep executing people for heresy.
Okay.
And it's the same level of, I'm tying it back in tangentially. It's the same, like, it's also a satire. And I'm just wondering if like it was inspired by like the Russians now, because it is like, I'm trying to fight this war, but they keep killing people for treason and heresy.
One of the cool transitions that they like, it's basically as soon as Stalin is dead, one of the cool transitions is they'll like bleed into this pure red screen and then white text of various articles of what's supposed to happen when Stalin dies. The first time they do it is when we find out Polina was actually alive, and Molotov at the beginning of the movie was secretly put on a list.
Yeah.
He was going to be killed next. Because Beria was, the Malenkov was the deputy, Beria was really the right hand man.
Yeah.
So it's this transition, and
also we've learned at this point that Beria fucks children, right?
I feel like
we learned that like the second prison scene or something.
Maybe.
Or when he goes to put the freezes on the killings.
We know he basically rapes people. I don't know if we know that it's children yet.
I feel like we saw the children, that they give the flowers to the parents and stuff.
Yes. Yes. Correct. Yes. But when they're talking about the woman who traded information and is going to find the doctors, that he mentions that she has a talent for, or like a willingness to live and a talent for fellatio or something like that, or a desperation to live or something. So like we know that he's a fucking sex creep.
Yeah, he's a big old sex criminal. On top of also being a mass murdering criminal, he's checking all the boxes.
Yes. But the first transition, when it fades in like back, It's Berea, the actor who plays Berea. I forget his name already. But it's Berea, and he's talking directly to camera. And it's really, like, it's the creepiest, I think, the movie gets. Where he's talking directly to camera, and it's this weird and, like, menacing look. And everything is, like, split symmetrical. And I really like that shot.
Yeah, they do a good job of capturing how awful this man is and how scary he is.
Yes. Like, I think a lot of this movie is shot well.
Yeah.
Like, there's... Like, I have no complaints on how this movie is shot, but that's one of those moments where I'm like, holy
damn.
Shit. Like, yeah. Like, it's very, like, workmanlike. Like, it's really well done. But every once in a while, there are just these, like
specific really good,
moments where it's like, oh,
you when they move time... away from the kind of office camera to do an actual cinematic shot.
Yes, when it stops being Veep for a second, yeah. And then it's like, yeah.
Because they set up because they're doing like the committee meeting around this time, right?
Yes, this is the
super awkward. They're in a big white room, and it's the whole thing where they're like trying to pass something, and they're like the motion passes unanimously because it like everyone's slowly raising their hands.
There's so much fucking like. What's the fucking like tongue twisting but like circular thinking,
yeah.
There's so much circular thinking and like bending what they really believe, and like it's this weird Berea is like essentially just doing very fancy wordplay to get words to mean nothing but everything.
Yeah,
he's doing what lawyers do, and it's
he's really shows why he was such an effective Minister of the Secret Police.
Yo, 1,000%. Yes. At this point, Malenkov has stepped up officially, and Berea has kind of become his right-hand man.
Because Khrushchev is relegated to planning the funeral.
Yes.
Which is kind of seen as like a piss-poor job to be given.
Yes. And yes, this is when we're introduced to the son. Or right around here, like it's right after the committee meeting or right before the committee meeting.
And we meet the son beforehand because
the autopsy scene. Yeah, you're just so right.
The 2 minute long
who do
gun
we meet?
Struggling.
Who do we meet right after? Oh, the fucking war, the general. We meet like very early on into the funeral, like the next. Yeah, like very.
Yeah, because we get into the planning of the funeral. Do we meet? No, he shows up at the funeral.
I thought he showed up right before. I mean, I'm not... You're probably right.
Yeah, he shows up late for how critical of a character he is.
Okay. Yes. He shows up just...
Because we see...
Because we're about 40 minutes in.
To be fair, the actual funeral planning scene's pretty short, and then we go into the funeral.
Yes.
Because we see him, like, he's complaining about having to choose drapes and stuff, and it's a lot of the machinations. I think it's around this time... That we learn that they put a hold on people coming into Moscow.
Yes. Berea, yeah, stop the trains. Because the general is like, your secret police aren't going to be able to handle this. Like, sheer numbers.
Yeah.
You need the Soviet army. You need the Red Army. And Berea's like, well, I stopped the trains. Haha, fuck you. I'm in the ear. I'm better than you.
Oh, this is also where we're reintroduced to the pianist.
Yes, because she taught Khrushchev's niece.
Yeah, okay. And so then since he has the note, Berea tries like blackmailing.
Yeah, Berea, yes. The note, Stalin reads the note, laughs, dies, drops the note. Berea picks up the note from the ground like when he first sees Stalin dead.
And he's trying to use it to blackmail Khrushchev. As like, you knew this woman.
Yes. And then there's
we have Khrushchev the weird shuffling and... we have the weird shuffling scene around this point too, where they're all around the coffin, because when the funeral kicks off, all the members are standing around the coffin.
Yes.
And they're like, Khrushchev is this entire time trying to manipulate the situation politically, and he has to talk to people, so he has to keep like switch with me, and he has to keep switching with people. And Malenkov's like, I don't want to switch. And they're trying to like have this, he's trying to do this while doing all the ritual.
Yes. Yes, I don't think he actually ends up switching with anyone. I think he tries. And yeah,
do we have the where he's trying to get the girls scene yet?
trying to get the girl?
Malakoff. Malakoff wants to redo a portrait.
Yes. Yes, that's right before the committee is when they're doing the photos.
Wants to redo a famous portrait of Stalin where he's with like a kid of the Soviet Union. He's trying to find like the kid, but like the kid's like an adult now. And so they're trying to find another kid. And when they finally taking the picture, you can't see the kid because the kid's too short.
Yeah. Yes. And Buscemi and the pianist have their conversation where Buscemi's just like, you fucked me. Why the fuck did you? Why? Like, you just fucked me over.
Yeah. Why did you do this?
I don't know you. Like,
because she's like, you'll help me. She's like, I don't know you. I don't know you. And it's where we start to see that Khrushchev is just as, although he's played off as like the better one, he is just as cutting as the rest. He's willing, just as willing to throw everyone over. This is my favorite scene because the church shows up.
Yes, the bishops. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's nothing I like more than a movie than a bunch of people shit talking the Orthodox Church.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's roughly like a 5-minute scene where they're like, "Fuck them, fuck these bishops. Why are we letting them back in?"
Oh my god. What is Buscemi calls them boyfriends of Christ or something like that? Yeah, yeah. Because Berea let them back in as another way of trying to gain favor.
Yeah. And everyone else is like, "Fuck the church."
Yes, and Buscemi at this point, Vasily interrupts the funeral in the balcony. I forget exactly what he yells, but it's like
he yells something insane.
Yeah, he yells something insane, and then they tackle him and put him in, and then the general beats the fucking shit out of him.
Yeah, and she's like, "Don't do that." He's like, "Oh, that's me told then." And he's like, "I'm gonna go represent the entire Red Army at the buffet." Yeah, because when he shows up and it's my favorite entrance because it's bomb, bomb, bomb. It's playing the music and he shows up and it's him like throwing out the coat and fixing it. And he's like, "What does a war hero have to do to get some lubrication?" It's my favorite character in the movie. And he goes up. He's like, "Look, I know it looks like I'm smiling, but I'm fucking furious. Why is the Red Army confined to the barracks?"
When he's beating up Vasily, Svetlana tells Khrushchev, "This is the definition of harm."
Yeah.
Vasily ends up being able to give a speech.
It's not great, but he gives it.
Yes, but they plan on, and we have a moment of where we realize just how cowardly and bad of a bumbling leader Malenkov is, where he's just like, "That sounds like no problem," and then Berea and Khrushchev are just like,
"But the two sworn enemies are like,
we can't.
No, we can't do it." That's one of my favorite moments because it's like these two people hate each other and they are the two main players in what's happening. Yes. And he's like, "Yeah, I want to give a speech at my father's funeral." "Yeah, that sounds like no problem." And they are both like, "No, you can't do this."
He's like, "Wait, I said no problem."
Yeah. And it's just, I just love that the two of them are like, "We have to put aside our differences. We can't let this drunk kid speak."
Yes, we find out like just how bumbling of a leader he really is in that moment. They end up letting the dude do the speech because Svetlana convinces them, and then Berea's just like, "We're gonna have the Russian planes fly over."
Yeah,
he's gonna get like 5 words in.
like again, it's a very British thing, the very British humor, but also just the two sworn enemies who have been at each other's throat this entire movie turn to each other. He's like, "This is gonna be a nightmare. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it." And then he's talking
right,
and it just covers up the fucking speech. I think this is when I'm starting to realize how little actually happens in this movie, because we're breezing through the plot. Very little actually happens in this movie.
See, I think a lot happens. It all just happens very quickly.
Yeah,
like, this is a very, very well-paced movie.
It's very well-paced, but like a lot happens, but more time is spent on how everyone's reacting to what's happening. So when we're covering the plot points, there's very few plot points, but a lot's happening around them.
Sure.
Because it's around this, after that, I think that's when he's like, Khrushchev says to reopen the trains. Because some guy comes up to him and he's like, "Which carpet should I use?" He's like, "Not now. Actually, new order. Open the trains."
Yes.
The people deserve to see the old man.
Yes, and then it's a fucking disaster.
It's a disaster.
The secret police was not prepared
for... Because there's all these peasants that are marching up, like, stop, stop, and they just start opening fire, and, like, 1,500 people are killed.
Yes. And it make they've made Berea look like a fool, and he has this little freak out in the back balcony where he's just like, I have the papers on all of you.
Yeah, he's like, I'll fucking ruin all of you. Ah, y'all dead. And then he's like... All right, I'm going to go take care of something. Yes. And this is what finally gives Khrushchev the political capital he needs to, like, we're going to get rid of this guy. We're doing a coup.
Yes.
And he goes up to...
Molotov and the general.
The general.
Yeah, because they're, like, back to back.
And because he finds him on his own, because he goes up and he's like, can I get you support? He's like, oh, no. He's like, well, I'll have your support. And he's like, I just have to operate with the assumption this man will support me. And he goes up. He's like, we have to kill Berea. And he goes, oh, wow, that's treason. And like, I have to report to you. And he goes, oh, look at the look on your face. Yeah. Are you fucking in? And you fucking moron. I was joking. And he like kisses him on the lips. He's like, I will kill him for you. Just let me know when.
yes. And then Molotov and the other ministers...
Because, like, if you have this, like, not only see the commander of the Red Army, it's very important to note.
Sure.
That not only see the commander of the Red Army, but the Red Army literally supports this man to the dying breath.
Yes.
Because this, the character, the historical man name, whose name I'm forgetting, is, like, he, as I said earlier, like, won. Like, there's a historical debate of whether or not he actually was that important. But, like, he, to the Russian people... is their greatest hero. Because he says he fucked Hitler in the ass. He did. Like, when the Russians went to Berlin, they fucked the Germans in the ass and just won. And a lot of it's credited to him.
Sure.
And so, like, we see constantly that he's on a good rapport with every single fucking soldier. And every fucking soldier would do anything for him.
Like, worships him,
basically. They're more... They are Zhukov.
Okay.
They are they're more loyal to Zhukov than they are anyone else.
Yes.
Which is why the entire time Buscemi's like, we need to get him on our side. Because mm-hmm. if you have him on your side, you have the Russian army.
Yes. And all of the ministers are like, I will vote to do this. You just need to convince everyone else.
And he goes, yeah, everyone else is convinced.
What about Malenkov?
Yeah.
And he slowly gets everyone. And Malenkov,
no one likes Berea.
Right. Except for Malenkov, who, like, doesn't love the dude, but thinks he deserves fair trial and is also a bumbling idiot.
Because, like, everyone's, like, trying to fucking stab each other in the back, but the moment you're like, you want to kill Berea? Everyone's like, as long as you have everyone else's support, 100%.
Yeah, we'll do a coup.
Yeah. and they I think this is when we get the thing where they're like setting good up, where you'll press the red button, the Red Army will march in, and we'll kill Berea.
Right?
And I think there's a scene where one of the ministers, I think he's the minister of like fish.
Yeah.
Like walks into the bathroom to have a piss, and the whole Red Army's there, and he's like, shoot him. No, I'm joshing. He's like, fuck you.
I remember they're carrying Stalin's casket, and Khrushchev is trying real hard to have political talk. Yeah. And Malenkov very correctly, just like, not the fucking time, dude. Like, not the time.
I have a stress. It is Steve Buscemi, because Steve Buscemi's playing basically himself. And so it's like really, all Steve Buscemi's mannerisms are there. He's hidden none of them. It's such a good scene.
Oh my, it's very akin to, I have not seen Jojo Rabbit, but it feels very akin to like all of the trailer stuff.
Jojo Rabbit?
I've not. All of the like the Taika Waititi where he did no research on the man. And just fucking like played himself playing Hitler.
I'm gonna add Jojo Rabbit.
Okay, hell yeah, dude.
It is. I've kind of fallen off the Keaty train. I think some of his movies, it's gotten to his head, so the movies are suffering. But it's a Sam Rockwell film at its heart.
Nice.
In my opinion.
Nice. I love What We Do in the Shadows so much. Mm-hmm. I've not seen the show. I love the movie What We Do in the Shadows.
I haven't seen the movie.
Oh, interesting. Okay, I'll add it to the list. Fuck yeah, dude.
Every episode, more go on the list. Because the thing is, we're constantly like referencing other movies. Like, I haven't seen that.
No, we should do a back-to-back. Like, one of us picks and the other one picks the other one. I don't know if I'm going to keep that in. I don't know if it's actually happening. Listeners, let us know if you want it to happen.
But I also love the just the setup for the coup. Because he's like, it's just the guy shows up and he's like, all right, choose your dates for tonight. And he opens his coat and it's all the guns he smuggled in. And he's like, I'll take the blonde. And he's like, ah!
I'll take the tall blonde, yeah.
I love the relationship between Zhukov and his soldiers.
Oh my God. Because
it's just this weird, like, frat boy, but, like, emotionally honest with each other. Like, they're the only people in this movie who, like, are emotionally honest with each other and not trying to kill each other.
Dude, it's...
they have a healthy relationship, him and the army, and, like, everyone else in this movie. He just shows up, like, well, I'm going to kill Bree. And they're like, yeah!
So, Malenkov is not. Oh, go ahead.
Because I saw this with Brandon.
Okay.
And he brought up, he's like, it's so, like, they've done terrible things, but this movie is correct that the good people, quote unquote, at this time period were the Russian military. Because they were not playing all the shitty fucking games everyone else was.
Sure, yeah.
And it comes through so heavily in this movie that they are just dudes who love their general, they love dad so much, and they're not doing all the shitty things that are happening.
Yes, they just want him to be proud of them.
Yeah.
But I also, it very much feels like a fraternity with some of the toxic masculinity shit, but none of, like, the toxic emotional shit.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
They're open with you. They drink with each other and give each other kisses.
Yeah, it's real. It's
sweet. Zhukov kisses him right in the mouth. They're, you know, he's like, this is gay. Yes. He does a big old kiss because it's funny and he's so happy with his friend.
Yeah, it's nice. as they're carrying Stalin out and Malenkov is not on board at this point, like, very staunchly, like, I don't like the guy, but, like,
he spoilers, doesn't... he will not be on board until it's happening.
Yes. And even then, he's not on board. Yeah. He's just so much of a coward. But he's not on board. And then Molotov asks Steve Buscemi, Khrushchev, is like, so is he on board? And Steve Buscemi just goes, yeah, he's on board.
He's on board.
Like, he just completely lies. And so, yeah, that's when they stage the coup.
Because they hit the button.
But yeah, yes. What was he? Oh, the speech. I'm going to jump back a little bit. Because Vasily's speech is like, my father was this big bear and I was his cub, but we were all his cubs. We were Russian cubs and Ukrainian cubs and Lithuanian cubs and Soviet cubs. And, like, just, like, over and over. He gets, and then as it's happening, the fucking planes fly over and he tries to be louder than the planes. But then one of the senators, I want to say is Beria, just, like, puts his hand on his shoulder and, like, pulls him back a little bit, just like, let it go, it's okay, you're good.
But the coup scene's so good because they press the thing, the light goes up in the bathroom, so the soldiers march in and he, like, Beria realizes what's happening at this point and he walks in and he's like, well, where is he? And he's like, oh fuck, and because he's trying to get out the window, he's like, help, and he's like, oh fuck, and he just it's a scene of the utter trust that exists in the army. Because he just hands his gun to a soldier. Mm-hmm. The soldier just holds the gun. He goes over and he just, like, punches him. He's like, oh, God. Oh, fuck. That's, like, at this point, the only reaction to Beria is, like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yes, he just knew he lost.
Yeah. And he just punched. And they're, like, searching him for weapons. And we get the smallest... Because Molotov's like, I'm not sure I'll agree with this. And it's, like, they're searching him for weapons. He's, like, he's a knife in his shoe. Yeah. Oh, fuck you, you coward, you stupid bitch.
Molotov the entire time is, like, so dedicated to the party that he's, like, anti himself, but, and so he has no opinion, he just has the party opinion.
I don't think we touched on it, but they need Molotov support because they need to sign an execution.
Yes.
And he is currently the only person who can sign that execution.
Yes.
Because before, in Beria would execute people, Stalin would sign them.
Yes, and they have that little scene in the car where he brings a small dog, which
we forgot that entire scene.
Oh, yeah,
we forgot the entire scene where they're in the car and they bring the dog so it barks so that people won't listen. And they also have the scene where, like, they all pair up and they're, like, all running trying to get to meet the daughter
Svetlana,
first.
Yeah.
It's when she shows up. So yeah, way back, she shows up and they're all, like, having secret meetings with dogs to cover up people yelling. He's, like, squeezing a squeak toy and they're like, oh fuck, he's here. Oh, she's here. We have to go talk. We have to be the first to talk to her. And they're all, like, running. And fucking Bria's like, oh, that fucking asshole's gonna beat us. And they're all, like, running, trying to get to her first. Like, oh! They're all like swamper.
Yeah, and Paulina, when Paulina's first introduced, and Molotov is just like, I bought a dog. Like, it was it's this little sweet moment. And then, he brings the dog into the car and is like, so we can kill him. I'll sign the execution if we have unanimous support. Yeah. Is there anything else about that scene that we missed?
I don't think so.
Okay, cool.
It's a chaotic movie to follow because it's following the events after Stalin's death, which were chaotic.
Yes. Where were we? Oh, the coup.
Yeah.
And so they're dragging him down this hallway and...
Well, the Russian army murders every single policeman in the vicinity. Yes. It's the reverse of the pre-Stalin scene where the security people are like, oh, fuck, and they're trying to hide. The Russian army's just walking around, gunning them down. There's one where the one secret police officer is like hiding and the Russian soldier walks by, looks, pulls out a pistol, does the execution.
And the whole time Malenkov is like, he deserves a fair trial. He's one of us. And Khrushchev is just like, did he give these people these fair trials and blah, 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 blah. Like is trying to convince and hands him a paper, is like, sign the fucking paper.
Yeah, this is when we have an abrupt tone shift where it stops being a comedy.
Yes.
Music stops. It's only diegetic noise. It's no longer a fucking comedy.
Yes.
Because he signs it and he's just reading his death warrant, saying all his crimes of like murdering the Russian people, conspiring this, fucking children, conspiring with foreign powers. And he's like, what, the moon? And he's like, and he's been sentenced to death, and they're dragging him out. It's a very real moment because he's just crying and sobbing. Yep. There's no comedy, and they just fucking bam.
Yes, and then they drag his corpse out and set it on fire.
Fucking the general's like, well, that was exciting.
Yeah, truly.
I'm going to go back and do my soldier things because none of you can touch me. Bye.
Oh, my God. So they set him on fire. They set him on fire. Khrushchev has this moment where he's like, now I'm the only real player here.
Yeah.
Yes, Malenkov's in charge, but I'm the real player.
And he talks about throwing someone else under the bus. He sends the daughter away.
Yes.
To Versailles.
Yes. The son stays in Moscow so they can monitor him, and the daughter is sent away.
And she says, like, I thought you were one of them.
Yeah. Small subplot, doesn't super matter, but the daughter wants Berea to bring back her friend Alexei, who is dead, but
she says he can.
Right.
He's like, I'll do anything for you. So can you bring back Alexei?
I will attempt the impossible. Yeah. So in her head, I don't know in her head if she thinks Alexei's a prisoner and not
I think
dead.
She thinks he's a prisoner.
Right.
She's an intelligent woman. I don't think she thinks she's going to, like, get a Frankenstein.
I agree. But I didn't know if in that moment he, like, truly... She, like, assumed that, like, an actual miracle... Like, no. Whatever.
They're Stalinist Russians. They're all atheists.
Fair enough. You know what? Fair. I don't know. You go mystical when you're sad. That's all I'm saying. but yes, and then the movie ends with, and we'll talk more, are we an hour into recording? We are an hour and 4 minutes into recording, which means we're probably like 55 minutes into the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to talk more about the general themes. We just want to get the plot out of the
way. And the movie ends with some epilogue type.
How he becomes Khrushchev.
Yes, for 12, like a decade plus, and then is eventually overthrown. And it's the same theater from the beginning, the sound booth, and then it pans up to him, his wife, and then the man we assume is eventually going to overthrow him.
Know history.
Sure. But we assume that that's the character. Like, we assume that he's playing that person. They don't explicitly give him a title, but we assume like that's the person who's going to overthrow him. And then it cuts to the credits, and it's like 7 minutes. This movie is like 147 minutes long, and 7 minutes of it are credits.
Yeah.
Which like, hell yeah. I watch them. I have no issue with long credits. This is a 100-minute movie, like in and out. It does not fuck around.
It does not slow down. It is a very, and that's what it was like in Stalin's Russia. Like, because it was just chaos and overthrowing people. Like, there's the one Ronald Reagan complained famously because when he tried to do diplomacy with the Soviet Union, that he could never get anything done. I don't like the guy, but I'll give him this. He couldn't get anything done because it seemed like each week there was a new person in charge of the Soviet Union.
Yeah. I really like this movie a lot. Like,
it's a solid British comedy.
Yes. Even when tonally it completely grinds to a halt for the last 10 minutes, pacing wise, it barrels through it.
Yeah, it is a wild ride to
even the scenes that like feel like that execution scene feels long, but like it feels deliberate.
Yeah,
like
it drags it out because this is the only serious moment in the movie.
Yes. The first time, I think I mentioned this in the record, I don't know if I'll have cut this part, but I won't have cut this one. The first time I have not given it my second rating, but the first time I watched it, I gave it like a 3.5 on Letterboxd, where I'm like, it doesn't totally nail its tone, but when it works, it really fucking works. I'm probably going to give this a 4 or 4.5 now that I've seen it again.
Yeah, it's so good.
Because all of my issues with it have just like completely smoothed over. Now that I wasn't overanalyzing and I was just absorbing the movie to like allow myself to absorb the movie, it fucking rules.
It's because everyone plays there. It's a very much a character based movie, I'd say, more than a plot based movie. Because mm-hmm. The plot is Stalin dies, they do a funeral, chaos, they kill the bad guy. That's the plot. Yes. But like every person plays their character so well, and they all sound British, which is very funny. Like Stalin sounds Cockney, I think.
Yes. Does Armando have any other movies outside of this and In the Loop
that yeah, you know yes, of? Yes, but I can't name them.
Okay, cool. I've only seen this and In the Loop, and I have not seen any of his TV shows. I think I've seen like the pilot of Veep, really liked it, have not watched anymore.
It this is his style. This is very much his style.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a performance in this movie I don't like. There are, obviously, I don't like these characters as people. Yeah. Unlike you, I'm not going to endorse Stalin as
That's
Russia.
Okay. It is the official stance of this podcast.
Anyway. Interesting that last movie, what you were very upset that you wouldn't hang out with a bunch of these people. I wouldn't hang out with probably any of these people, but like they're great characters and really
they're
done
so
well.
Good. Like every character is silly, but like fully realized. They never act out of character. There's not a single performance where the person's not giving it their all.
Every character within two scenes, you immediately get it.
Yeah.
You're like, and like Jeffrey Tambor, I think his first line when Buscemi's talking about they used to warm themselves up in the army by throwing the grenades, and then they threw one to the prisoners and they played hot potato. Like it's this war story that didn't really happen, but like it's this fun war story. And then Tambor's just like, so what was the grenade? Like just and completely grinds it to a halt because he's just dumb and bumbling and focuses on the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And like when he's talking with Stalin and is like, so whatever happened to it's not Trotsky, but let's say Trotsky isn't. Like, whatever happened to Trotsky? He was a cool dude. And then it just gets really awkward, and Beria and Khrushchev then now have to, like, overplay to like, now cover for him in the same way that, like, you now immediately get their dynamic, that they're the two who are actually in charge.
And they're both,
not while Stalin's alive, but like in
they're the players in the group.
Yes.
And they both do, it's like the guy that plays Beria plays him perfectly. He's this weird, conniving, murderous little shit. And as like the quote unquote only sane man in the room, Steve Buscemi just playing Steve Buscemi is the perfect choice. Like Steve Buscemi just being Steve Buscemi in the situation is like It's perfect. It's just, I don't know how to explain it better. It just, he is such the Steve Buscemi nervous energy. Works.
Yeah.
Where he's nervous and he's kind of annoyed the entire movie, and that's just his through line.
Yeah. Even even Stalin, who gets
5 minutes,
maybe 5 minutes of screen time, you immediately understand the, like, I am in charge, but I also, I am in this world, not of this, is that,
yeah,
where he's like, I am the one ruling, I'm telling us all we're watching a cowboy movie, but I'm actually not gonna watch the cowboy movie, I'm gonna do general shit. Like when he's reading the pianist's letter and he's laughing,
yeah,
like this, like,
he just does not give a shit,
like, you stupid girl, you just put yourself on the list, like,
jokes on her, him though, he's gonna die in a puddle of piss.
Yes. Yeah, they mentioned that essentially he has a stroke, I think, is what the medical diagnosis is. He acts it, I can't remember if he grabs the chest, he acts it like a heart attack, which is interesting. His death is also like, the fact that he was so high and he died so indignantly, but also so quickly.
Yeah. It really just shows the futility of mankind and how nothing we do really matters.
Yeah,
if you think about it, like, the, you can become in charge of an entire superpower, and you can have all this power, and then you can just die. You ever think, you ever wake up and just think about how you could just die that day, and everything you worked for your entire life is gone, and all your friends are gonna fight over it like vultures?
Yes, to be alive is to suffer, and sentience is a curse. Yeah,
it's nuts.
The absolute best case scenario is you die peacefully alone and leave those you love the most to mourn you.
Yeah.
It's really weird that your last act as a human being is going to be to emotionally wreck the people you hold dearest.
I know, right?
Like, that's anyway.
I'm hoping to go extra with it. I want, if I know I'm about to die, I'm going to put a little timed firecracker in my body, so at the funeral, my body blows up, inflicting more emotional harm on my loved ones.
Jesus Christ. Please don't. I mean, I probably have more thoughts. It just breaks down to, I really fucking like this movie.
Yeah, it's not... Because, like, it's not a complex movie and why it's good.
Right.
A lot of times when we talk about these movies, there's a lot of things we can really break down on why it's good or why it's bad. But it really is just... It's well-paced and all the characters are good. It's a character movie.
Yes.
The movie doesn't run off the plot. It doesn't run off the fact that this is what happens when Stalin died. It's the characters reacting to each other.
Yes, it's incredibly well-paced. The characters work. I still think there are a couple moments. I'm trying to think of anything specific. I think I'll use an example. I think it nails its tone 98% of the time.
What's the 2% it doesn't?
I think the one that it doesn't nail is the arguing over the gun when he, like, grabs the gun.
Oh,
I
think, it's so good, though.
I do. I think that goes on a little too long and gets a little too silly. Like this movie is, like, it's not a farce, or it's more like satire. It's like it's making fun of, but it doesn't. It never really transforms into, like, the fantasy-esque or, like,
yeah,
right. And I think it's very rarely silly, and I think that's a moment where it goes a little silly.
Yeah, it's not really a silly movie,
right?
It's a dry movie.
I think yes, and I think that moment works for 20 seconds. And then it goes on another 30 seconds.
As it should, honestly. It's British. It's British.
Yeah. Again, 30 seconds of a 100-minute movie is very rarely going to ruin the entire movie for me. I think it nails its tone 98% of the time. And it rules. And I like this is such a weird tone to walk. It's like, is this, I don't know.
It features a slaughter of civilians.
Yes, it features the slaughter.
Like, it's a funny ha-ha comedy, and we watch 1,500 people get mowed down by secret police.
Yes, and it ends incredibly violently.
Yeah.
And yet, at the exact, like...
A back alley execution.
Yeah, dude. It... it's this, I mean, yeah, it's this balance of, I,
it's very funny, much but it doesn't shy away from the absolute horror. Yes. The situation.
It feels like In the Loop, but more violent.
Yeah.
Like In the Loop walks the balance of like, I am going to make fun of these characters, but at the exact same time, like I am going to be as emotionally honest as I can be.
Yeah.
This makes fun of these characters. They feel lived in the world. I highly doubt that that these people were really this bumbling in real life. Like I highly doubt. But like they.
I don't think the Soviet Union has a record for being well run.
Sure.
It's heightening it. It's heightening the actual bumbling into their personalities.
Yes.
Personality wise, they weren't this bumbling. This is how the politics went.
Sure. I was not a history major. I don't know as deep as
the politics were as chaotic and bumbling. Not bumbling. Because they're not bumbling because they're idiots. It's just everyone's trying to do something and constantly crashing into each other.
Sure.
It's not working out because there's 20 people doing 20 different plots. And they kind of work together, but not really. And it's taking that chaotic, crashing into each other, dysfunction, and making it humorous.
Yes. This movie walks a tightrope of like... deeply dark, funny, and incredibly hyper-violent, but also bumbling. But I think it loses me when it gets silly. But that might just be personal taste. But it loses me when it gets silly, and then it immediately has me in the
Harrison
next scene,
hates but, silly.
No, I love silly. I just don't think silly.
I mean,
belongs
that was it's pretty much his catchphrases. Stop being silly. It's what he always tells me that. He tells Geneva that.
Yeah, that's exactly what
he'd
happens.
Be like, honey, stop being silly.
Okay, anyway. It walks a very fine tightrope and it walks it very well. There were more points, but that's the gist of my argument without saying the same thing
stop
400
being
times.
Silly movie.
Your favorite character is the general,
yeah.
You said? Nice. I love the general. She's only in like two scenes, but mine is either Svetlana or the pianist. I think they're used so amazing. I think both of them are used so amazingly.
They have small parts, but they have a big impact.
Yes.
And they both really inform Khrushchev's character.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't want to do five. I mean, how long have we been? Okay, 120. We'll probably get.
It's a shorter episode.
Yeah, dude. All right.
It's not a complex movie, and it's character based, and they're all good. It's one of those movies that you could pick apart very in bit, but it's just good.
Yeah,
some movies are just good.
It just works,
like, and especially when all it like the characters just work, and we could go ad nauseum about all these characters, but that's not good listening.
No. Any final thoughts?
I think more people should have seen this movie.
Agreed.
I don't think they will.
If we can convince one more person to watch this movie.
Email, if you watch this movie because of this podcast, email us so I can die knowing I've done something in this world.
I think, yeah, I went through most of my thoughts on this movie.
It's not one I have complicated thoughts on.
No, it just kind of rules. Like, it just kind of rules.
It's just a good movie.
Yeah. Do you want to do socials?
Yeah, I can do socials. You can find us on Instagram at Two Men Movie Podcast. Eventually, we'll start posting some interesting stuff there. I'm going to start taking random pictures of Harrison. I'm going to break into his home and put pictures of him sleeping, pictures of him cooking, and you can get like a real insight into our life on this.
You can just take pictures of when I'm talking and I don't catch it. Because you've already done that with Geneva a couple times.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to do both. You can find us, you can email us. You can email us if we convince you to watch this movie at twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. You can email us your thoughts, recommendations, your manifesto. If you send me your manifesto, I will read it. I will respond to you. I promise you that. I support killdozers. You can find me at Midwest Magician or Midwest_Magician on Instagram. That's my Instagram. I don't post too much, but I've started posting my wee little plastic men on there. So if you really want to watch me get weirdly excited about painting small plastic men, that's the place to go. Let me know. Let me know if you're a woman who plays piano and you find this interesting. Reach out. Oh. That's all our socials that I update.
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at harrisonpool.com. I need to start posting more.
He's going to do a lot of TikTok challenges. He's going to do all the dances for you guys.
Yeah, totally. Honestly, truly, if you email me a TikTok challenge,
twomenmoviepodcast@gmail.com. Email us what you want Harrison to do, and he will dance like the monkey he is for your attention.
But yeah, harrisonpool.com, P-O-O-L-E, harrisonpool.com. Thank you to Tristan Hostetter for our theme music.
And is this coming out right before October? Can we talk about...
This is coming up Monday. Don't Think Twice, Then This, and then our next movie, Orange County. Okay. So, yeah, well, I mean, let's bring it up.
We'll bring it up. We're presumptuous people. We're getting a big, big for our britches. And we're like, you know what? We have under 100 followers. We have under a dozen followers. Let's do an event. So this October, we're going to be doing Guesttober, where it's mostly going to be other people bring their spooky movies.
Yes, we have a buddy from film school. We have Brandon who broke in, and we have my lady Geneva. They're all going to bring their own movies.
His lady, forsooth, she shall arrive. That's going to be... I was thinking about this.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get bullied a lot on that episode.
Yes, I've accepted it.
You're going to... Me and Geneva are just going to... All we do is either... Because we haven't really talked about it, but if me and Geneva are in the same room, either we're fighting or we're bullying Harrison. Yes. I'm excited for that episode.
I'm fairly certain she's going to bring Tusk. And then the last episode of Guesttober won't be a guest episode.
Because I want to watch Trick or Treat.
Yeah, it's going to be Trick or Treat, a regularly scheduled program where we'll break down the movie. And then
we're going to make cookies for that.
Oh, hell yeah.
I got the
dude.
Pillsbury Halloween cookies. We're going to make some of those, and we're going to sit down and watch it.
Nice.
It's the most Halloween movie ever.
Nice. And at the end, we'll try and do a little breakdown on how we think this fun experiment went.
Including the top 10 hits of His Lady of Green Geneva.
My partner Geneva.
My lady.
Yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week, we're watching Jake Kasdan's 2002 movie Orange County, written by Mike White. I love it a lot. It feels very much like a predecessor to School of Rock.
You think I'm going to like it?
I think you'll have things you'll like about it.
I'm still recovering from fucking... I can never remember the name of the movie. Don't Think Twice. I was putting it up. I was setting it up to post, and I had to keep checking for the name of the movie because I'd look at the name of the movie, go to enter in something completely blank on the name of that movie.
Yes. But yeah, thank you for listening. I'm very excited. Have a good one.
Yeah,
thank
get
you
excited.
Listening.
Get excited for Guesttober. I want you all pumped. Spooky Halloween spirits. We're gonna have a great fucking time. We love you, and you're gonna love us, and you're gonna love his lady Geneva.
All right.
I don't know. It just stuck out. You sounded like William Shakespeare or something. Yeah. I like you talk so formally about her. I really like that. You'll be like, "This is my lady, love Geneva," and it is a great contrast because you guys are gonna come to learn. She's loud.
Yeah,
she's another me. She's like the same thing as me, and so I just love that you're like, "This is my lady, love Geneva," and she's like, "Hey, fuckers!" and like punches him in the gut. All right, but yeah, we'll see you next week. I promise I'll get some sleep so I'm coherent. I love you guys. Kisses. Give them kisses. Give them kisses for once.
Wah.
Thank you. Jesus Christ.
Bye.
Bye.
This is Matthew and Harrison's Two Men in a Movie. It's not what it sounds like.